You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Alana Gordon, in for Mike and Scott. So we've just taken a trip into a moat at Pennsylvania Hospital and into the early days of mental health care in America. But now, here to rein us back into the 21st century is Dominic Sisti. He's a bioethicist at the University of Pennsylvania who specializes in behavioral health. Dominic, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks, Alana.
So you work at Penn. Have you ever heard this story before?
No, I was unfamiliar with the moat story.
What do you make of it?
It's a fascinating story that I think speaks to the revolutionary thinking of some scientists and physicians in Philadelphia. And that revolution was to begin to think about individuals with mental health conditions as sick and not morally depraved or possessed by demons.
What do you make of the spectacle aspect and of people coming to gawk with those with mental illnesses? Is that so different today?
You know, I would hesitate to cast modern judgment on the behaviors of individuals in the late 1700s and early 1800s. But I think it does reflect a certain curiosity that we continue to have. I mean, one need only look up at the Pennhurst Asylum, which is a modern-day attraction now, that was a former psychiatric hospital for individuals with intellectual disabilities and mental illness, and they turned it into a Halloween attraction. There are no patients there. It's not like people are wandering through making fun of or gawking at actual people, but the memories of individuals who were there and who suffered there oftentimes have been turned into a spectacle, you know, and it's, to me, it's unseemly. It'd be like if an old oncology ward were to be turned into a spectacle for people to wander through and, you know, laugh about cancer. Like, one would never think that that's acceptable. But for some reason, the Pennhurst Asylum is acceptable. So I think this idea that individuals with mental illness are to be objectified for entertainment for individuals who are not mentally ill, I think, is still with us. And it's a sad commentary on our society.
And what about when you think about the spaces for mental health treatment? Like, we hear about in the early days, cells, and then the creation of like the psychiatric hospital, these kind of isolated spaces for treatment. And there's kind of this focus on isolating patients as a way to get well or as a way to treat. And I wonder if that has changed a lot today.
So there aren't many spaces anymore for individuals with serious mental illness. The number of hospital beds has declined in the past 70 years by about 95%. But to your point, I think, yes, there is still this notion of therapeutic isolation for a time for some individuals. However, a lot of new models emphasize, you know, the important features of community. And, you know, milieu therapy was, I think, the beginning of that, where individuals become ensconced in a small therapeutic community, perhaps at a recovery center, and they learn and they become rehabilitated in the ways of, you know, the community so that they can eventually then return to the community.
And what's different today?
Well, today we have modern pharmacotherapy that really does, I think, stabilize patients in a way that purging and bloodletting did not. You know, we have, you know, electroconvulsive therapy for patients with severe mental illness that sometimes helps them overcome major depressive disorder, for example. So we have therapeutic interventions that obviously they didn't have then. And I think, you know, the notion that an individual actually can heal and recover is itself, you know, revolutionary still to this day.
What do you think are some of the things in 100 years people might be looking back on today and thinking, oh, wow, they did that, or that's what was still happening?
Yeah, so I think we're at a point of historic reckoning again in behavioral health care. And I say that because many of the individuals who are seriously mentally ill, who have not been able to access or succeed with community-based treatment, now find themselves entangled in the criminal justice system. And so we've sort of gone back to the pre-moral treatment days where we're incarcerating and putting in chains individuals with serious mental illness. And I think 100 years from now, people are going to look back and think, wow, they were really immoral, unethical, and the social expectations, I hope, will be much higher for the way we treat some of these most vulnerable people.
Dominic Sisti, bioethicist at the University of Pennsylvania and director of the Scattergood Program for Applied Ethics in Behavioral Health. Thanks for speaking with me.
It was my pleasure.